It's Thursday, March 30th, 2023, and this is Markets Daily from CoinDesk. I'm Adam B. Levine, here again with Adrian Bluss for your daily news roundup. On today's show, we're talking Bitcoin, Fed fallout, top headlines, and more. And just a reminder, CoinDesk is a news source and does not provide investment advice. Bitcoin is up, Ether is down just a touch, and the CoinDesk market index is higher, even as the majority of top traded tokens are seeing some losses today. In other words, crypto markets are more confused and diverse than we've seen them be in a while, which is interesting. Despite ongoing tensions stemming from Binance's recent legal woes, Bitcoin and other major cryptocurrencies spent much of yesterday in the green. The top token by market capitalization continues to push higher, up from its lows below $27,000 earlier in the week, as that lawsuit against exchange giant Binance was filed by the Commodities Futures Trading Commission, better known as the CFTC. But even so, Bitcoin is up about 20% in March alone, outperforming other assets including Ether, stocks, and gold. Quote, "The market has responded positively despite the CFTC story, mostly because the broader narrative of a return to quantitative easing and fiat printing remains dominant," Joe DiPasquale, CEO of crypto asset manager Bitbull Capital, told CoinDesk in an email. On-chain data suggests some traders and whales, which is a colloquial term for holders of large amounts of tokens, are taking profits after weeks of gains, which may fuel a decline in the coming days. Quote, "On-chain data shows three conditions that are worth noting in the context of Bitcoin's current rally," analytics from CryptoQuant said in a note shared with CoinDesk, continuing, "Short-term holders are taking profits at the highest profit margin in more than a year. There's a recent increase in spending activity in large Bitcoin holders, also known as whales, and a slight decrease in their holdings. And price valuation momentum is increasing to overvaluation territory," end quote. Meanwhile, data from CryptoQuant's short-term output profit ratio tool, which calculates the ratio of price received versus price paid for assets held between 1 hour and 155 days, spiked above 1 in the past week, indicating investors are probably selling token holdings at a profit. Moreover, Bitcoin could see some wild price swings heading into the weekend as options contracts worth billions of dollars tied to the cryptocurrency are set to expire tomorrow. As of right now, the quarterly expiry, as it's called, on dominant crypto options exchange Deribit were made up of some 81,052 call options worth a combined $2.24 billion and more than 60,000 put options worth $1.73 billion, according to information sourced from Amber Data. Deribit, which accounts for almost 80% of the global crypto options activity, will settle its quarterly options early tomorrow, U.S. time. And it's worth noting that on Deribit, one options contract on either side represents one BTC. Quote, "There's massive quarterly options expiry tomorrow," said Dick Lowe, CEO and co-founder of TDX Strategies, who continued, "The street is potentially short gamma on the top side. That plus thin liquidity could lead to big chops in both directions," end quote. Elsewhere, Ether, the second largest cryptocurrency by market value, is down slightly on the day, but still holding above $1,800. Among other altcoins, Ripple's XRP token continued its strength from Tuesday, jumping nearly 6% over the past 24 hours. Cardano's ADA token and Polygon's Matic tokens were each up between 3 and 4%. DiPasquale said the recent outperformance of coins like XRP is tied to, quote, "regulators seemingly questioning even the biggest names in the space," adding that, quote, "the playing field is even for all other coins that were previously considered contentious," end quote. In that Monday lawsuit filed against Binance in the U.S. District Court of Illinois, the Commodities Futures Trading Commission called several cryptos, including Bitcoin, Ether, Litecoin, Tether, and Binance commodities, while U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission Chairman Gary Gensler has previously suggested that proof-of-stake tokens like ETH are securities amid an ongoing feud between the agencies about jurisdiction. It's also worth noting that prior to that, Gensler had essentially said that any token that had been issued was in fact a security. James Lavish, managing partner at the Bitcoin Opportunity Fund, called yesterday's action a risk-on day across the board as investors appear to position themselves in their books ahead of several data releases later this week, including today's final fourth-quarter GDP figure and tomorrow's personal consumption expenditure inflation data. Quote, "The thought is, if this data comes in weaker than expectations, then it will give Federal Reserve Chair Powell enough evidence to pause further rate raises," Lavish told CoinDesk in an email. And relatedly, the CME's FedWatch tool currently shows that over 62% of traders are predicting the U.S. Central Bank will not raise its interest rate in its May monetary policy meeting. Lavish added that Bitcoin's price benefited from the recent risk-on move as well as the announcement that China completed its first yuan-settled liquefied natural gas, or LNG, trade with the United Arab Emirates. Quote, "This strengthens the argument that Bitcoin may be used as a means of exchange in large cross-border energy trades in the near future," he said. adding that, "That said, I believe this reality, while valid, is still a ways off," end quote. Today's crypto coverage comes courtesy of CoinDesk Markets analysts Lila Ledesma, Jocelyn Yang, Shuri Amala, and Ankar Gubley. Bitcoin is currently trading at $28,682. That's up a little bit more than 1% since our show yesterday, while Ether is trading at $1,805 per token. That's essentially flat, down just 0.1% over the same time period, according to the CoinDesk Market Index. And speaking of the CoinDesk Market Index, we're looking at an absolute reading this morning of 1,259. That compares against yesterday's reading of 1,255 and represents just under a third of a percent gain across top traded tokens on the day. And now, with traditional markets, here's Adrian Blost.
Thank you, Adam. U.S. futures ticked higher as traders switched their focus from this month's banking crisis to the future path of interest rates, while European stocks advanced this morning despite mixed inflation data from Germany and Spain. In the U.S., the tech-heavy NASDAQ led the gains, ticking up 1.25%, while the S&P 500 gained 1%. The Dow Jones Industrial Average, meanwhile, gained 0.2%. In Europe, most major indices gained. Germany's DAX edged up 1.2%, while the regional Stock 600 gained 1%. London's FTSE 100, meanwhile, gained just under 0.75%. In Asia, stocks were mixed. Mainland China's Shanghai Composite Index gained just under 0.2%, while Hong Kong's Hang Seng Index gained just under 0.6%. Japan's Nikkei 225, meanwhile, lost 0.2%. And lastly, in commodities markets, Brent crude, the global benchmark for oil, lost 1.1%, trading at $77.92 per barrel. Gold, meanwhile, gained just under 1%, trading at $1,983 per troy ounce. Today's traditional market coverage draws from the FT and MarketWatch.
Thanks very much for that, Adrian. Stay tuned for after the break. We'll dig in a bit more deeply to some top headlines. I'll be right back.
Hey everyone, Adrian Doc Blust here. Firstly, thank you for listening and for leaving your reviews. We see you. If you're listening on Spotify by chance, some of you noticed that you can reply a comment on every individual episode. So if you have any feedback, questions, or want to share what you think about a particular episode, just click on the episode on Spotify and hit reply under the Q&A section. You'll find me there. We want to hear your questions and get you all involved. I'll comb through the replies and bring up any questions we see fit on the show. So it'd be great to hear from you. And thank you again for listening.
Join CoinDesk's Consensus 2023, the most important conversation in crypto and Web3, happening April 26th through 28th in Austin, Texas. Immerse yourself in all that blockchain technology has to offer creators, builders, founders, brand leaders, entrepreneurs, and more. Use code MARKETSDAILY to get 15% off your pass. Visit consensus.coindesk.com or check the link in the show notes.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome back. Nelly Liang, the U.S. Treasury Secretary's Undersecretary for Domestic Finance, doesn't believe the digital asset sector should be blamed for the runs on Silicon Valley Bank and Signature Bank that led to their quick demise earlier this month. Quote, "I don't believe that crypto played a direct role in either of the failures," the official said during a hearing of the House Financial Services Committee yesterday. When asked whether digital assets were an indirect factor, she noted that Signature was particularly active in the sector, though she didn't provide further details. Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, or FDIC, Chairman Martin Grunberg had earlier told the lawmakers that about a fifth of Signature's deposit base was tied to crypto customers at the end of 2022. But that relationship between the crypto industry and two of its one-time favorite banks has otherwise drawn scant attention from members of the Senate and House of Representatives over 2 days of hearings examining the failures of Silicon Valley and Signature Banks. The two regional lenders and a smaller institution, Silvergate Bank, that arguably sparked the recent blaze that spread through U.S. banking, took business risks that undermined their resilience, according to their regulators. Federal Reserve Vice Chairman for Supervision Michael Barr said the trouble with SVB, for instance, was rooted in, quote, classic interest rate risk management, end quote, which is, to my ears, a nice way to say that after the U.S. central bank held interest rates at near zero for a sustained period of time, and then raised them by more than 1,800% in less than a year, it is, of course, the bank's fault for not handling that totally normal transition very well. What goes unspoken, of course, is that it's definitely not the fault of the regulators whose haphazard flailings created the conditions for not just these failures, but some $600 billion in unrealized losses as of the end of last year sitting on bank balance sheets, according to the FDIC. Perhaps the problems at Silicon Valley Bank weren't unique. But remember, even as they're willing to blame the banks, they can't seem to find a pretense under which to blame crypto, which is interesting to say the least given recent news flow. I've little doubt that we'll learn a lot more when the investigation into the failures concludes, except, oh, what's this? The U.S. Central Bank is also the party doing the postmortem so that we can learn from the bank's mistakes, but definitely not the central bank's mistakes because they didn't make any mistakes. It's all a big joke, except for the repercussions, which are very much not a joke. CoinDesk's Jesse Hamilton has the straight story on this one. In other news, we talk a lot on this show about how the dollar's global reserve currency status is both incredibly important to the nation and also not exactly guaranteed to stick around if history is any guide. Well, in just this latest bit of news, we've got more suggestions that the dam is getting leaky. A Chinese national oil company and a French firm known as Total Energies have reportedly completed China's first yuan-settled liquefied natural gas or LNG trade through the Shanghai Petroleum and Natural Gas Exchange, the firm said earlier this week. Approximately 65,000 tons of LNG imported from the UAE changed hands in the trade in exchange for some of China's native currency. The Chinese government has placed an increasing emphasis on settling oil and gas trades in yuan in recent years in a bid to establish its currency internationally and to weaken the dollar's grip on world trade, which it currently dominates. Reuters has more on this one.
Meanwhile, Blocknox, a part of Börse Stuttgart's digital unit, has received the final license as a crypto custodian from the German financial regulator, BaFin. The license means the traditional exchange will be able to provide institutional investors with services for trading crypto as well as fiduciary custody, Germany's second largest stock exchange said in an email this morning. Among the institutions it expects to make use of the offering are banks, brokers, asset managers, and family offices. BaFin licensing will allow the exchange to offer a, quote, one-stop shop for brokerage, trading, and custody of digital assets, the CEO said in an email. CoinDesk's Jamie Crawley has the scoop.
And in today's installment of SamWatch, FTX founder Sam Bankman-Fried will plead not guilty on charges of trying to evade campaign financing laws and attempting to bribe one or more Chinese officials, Reuters reported this morning. Bankman-Fried previously pleaded not guilty to 8 charges of fraud and conspiracy and is currently awaiting trial in October. With the addition of accusations of attempting to evade campaign finance laws and bribery of Chinese government officials, SBF now faces a 13-count indictment. CoinDesk's Jamie Crawley has more on that one. But it doesn't end there today. OKX says that it has identified $157 million in digital assets belonging to FTX and Alameda Research, and is turning them over to the bankruptcy estate for the two firms. The exchange didn't specify what digital assets it had found. But they said, via a release, that they've conducted investigations to identify any FTX-related transactions on the exchange, and upon discovering the assets and accounts linked to the companies, moved to secure those assets and freeze the connected accounts. CoinDesk's Lila Ledesma has more on this one.
And in NFT news, Freeport, a soon-to-be-launched blockchain-based platform that allows people to invest in fine art, is offering an exclusive 4-piece collection of prints from pop artist Andy Warhol. According to a press release, the 4 works were partially acquired from well-known art collectors, including Jane Holzer. The collection will include prints from Warhol's most famous works, including Marilyn, Double Mikey, Mick Jagger, and Rebel Without a Cause, and will be limited to 1,000 tokenized lots each. Dave Hendricks, CEO and co-founder of digital asset management tool Vertalo, told CoinDesk that Freeport will utilize Vertalo to tokenize the artworks so they can be bought and sold on decentralized finance platforms. Now, interestingly, the platform cleared a regulatory hurdle with the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission on Wednesday, allowing it to fractionalize shares of fine artworks in the form of security tokens on the Ethereum blockchain. Seems like they're doing their homework. CoinDesk's Rosie Perper reports on that.
And And that's our show for today. Thank you very much for listening. If you have any questions or comments, send the show an email at podcast@coindesk.com, or you can email me directly at adamlevine@coindesk.com. If you like what we're doing, we always appreciate reviews on Apple Podcasts or your preferred listening platform. This episode was produced by Adrian Blust and myself, with further support from the podcast team over at coindesk.com. Have a great rest of your day, and we'll be back tomorrow with another episode of Markets Daily.